This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Ducks North Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we are a day late, but we're not a dollar short. We have the same amount of dollars as we always do in our pockets.
Which is 100 million.
Exactly. We have a great show. We're going to talk about the major league leading Boston Red Sox. I'm going to rant for a little bit about the White Sox. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Waylon's going to surprise me with a topic.
A little surprise topic.
And then we're going to pick our favorite and least favorite San Francisco Giants. I guess also slash New York Giants of all time. But before we get into that, we do want to give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio for hosting the podcast, as well as OffTheBenchBaseball.com for distributing the podcast. Very much appreciate both of those fine organizations. Hope you'll visit BoardwalkAudio.com and OffTheBenchBaseball.com to support them both. I decided to shorten the spiel today
so we
could get right into baseball talk.
Right into Cubs Royals. Big series.
Huge series for both teams. It's on in the background right now.
It was cool. Ben Zobrist. This is, I guess, the first time the Cubs have visited Kauffman Stadium since Ben Zobrist has played for the Cubs. And they gave him a beautiful standing ovation.
Oh, that's nice.
He only played for him for half a season.
I'm surprised.
Part of the 2015 squad.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't been to Kansas City in the interim.
Yeah, the previous two seasons. That's weird. I don't know, because they've been 16 and 17, but they haven't.
Yeah,
or maybe Zobrist was hurt and didn't go. I don't know.
I guess they rotate for interleague play, but I was thinking they always did the Central just because the Cubs and White Sox always play.
But I think that's like a locked in.
That's
one.
A rivalry type thing.
But it was very nice.
That is nice.
Yeah. First time I ever saw the Cubs live was in Kauffman Stadium.
No way.
In 1998. June 28th, 1998.
Wow. A day that will live in infamy.
Yeah, it was my mom's birthday.
Oh, that's.
I went to a Cubs Royals game.
So I bet she was delighted.
Her 38th birthday?
Okay. There just give away how old your mom,
how old my mom is
on the podcast. Similarly, not to celebrating Ben Zobrist, when the White Sox were just in Tampa Bay, it was the 2008 reunion for the Rays, the World Series team, and James Shields started on the day that the reunion was. And
whoa.
I don't know if that was like on accident or whatever, but he like took part in the sort of recognition of all the players who were there and stuff, which
that's
I thought
cool.
was kind of cool. And then the White Sox won. So it was a great day for
so
everyone.
So the Rays lost that game just like they
just
lost,
like
the,
they
World
lost the World Series. Yeah, exactly. More sort of coincidence or synchronicity or whatever, but the Rays beat the White Sox in the division series that year.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the last White Sox playoff appearance.
Sheesh.
Highlighted
10
by,
years ago. Huh?
Yeah, for
Whoa.
Sure.
I would have thought, I would have guessed sooner just because I feel like the Central has just cycled through, you know, like every team.
Yeah, Waylon. I do know that it feels like the White Sox should have made the playoffs more recently than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They did have Chris Sale and Jose Quintana and Adam Eaton. And
How did they not? And that division wasn't very
good. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. The one thing I will say about that 08 series, as disappointing as it was to lose in the division series, it was cool that it was the Rays, I guess, just because like the Rays before that season were such a laughing stock. Like
the Devil Rays.
The Devil Rays. Yeah, that was the first year they were the Rays.
Yeah, so the Devil Rays were the laughing stock and the Rays were
but
good.
But it was like, I remember it being such a great story that year. And also the White Sox at that time were like, it was very clear the wheels were coming off. Like it they were limping into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Carlos Quinton, who was like maybe going to win MVP that year, had broken his wrist like three weeks before the playoffs, punching his bat.
He punched his bat?
Yeah, he like hit the knob of his bat after he struck out and broke his wrist.
What a dummy. That's a dummy move.
Yeah, yeah. It was very much a dummy move, and it was very much a dummy sort of end to the season. But anyway, it was cool to see the reunion of the Rays.
Yeah.
Rocco Baldelli.
Oh,
Carl
love
Crawford.
Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah.
Was Rocco Baldelli the dude that had like some disease that like kept him from being able to play and was like a big bummer?
Yeah, I think he retired after that season because he had like that blood disease or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he came back and he was like a part-time player for those teams, those Rays teams. And then, yeah, I think he retired after that year.
Was Aubrey Huff on those teams or was that after?
He probably was.
He's probably around.
Yeah.
Deano Navarro was the catcher for that squad.
Sure. Aubrey Huff, maybe a former Giants as well. I just realized that
he
could be in the running for one of my slots.
Oh.
Not going to give away which.
I have no idea how you feel about Aubrey Huff. But this is going to be such a surprise.
Well, that's a little teaser for later. Maybe I'll call an audible.
So should we talk about a team that doesn't really ever get talked about, the Boston Red Sox?
Yeah, a bunch of overlooked fellas on that team. It's about time somebody shines a spotlight.
As of this recording, they're on pace to win 113 games.
Yeah.
And they are something like I think they're 9 or 9.5 games up on the Yankees, despite the fact that the Yankees have the third best record in baseball and are also on pace to win 100 games.
Yeah.
So I guess they're like super good. The Red Sox, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty amazing. Like they have a shot at catching the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
I think like the most interesting thing to me about them is sort of the lack of change from last season's team, which was an immensely disappointing team.
For JD Martinez,
right?
Yeah.
So one player, a good player.
Yeah.
But you know, they went from I guess basically Hanley Ramirez, who was a one-win player, to JD Martinez, who's probably like a 5-win player. But they did not go from 89 wins to 93 wins or whatever they
right,
went
they're
from.
Like, yeah.
You know.
So to you, do you think that they're they underachieved last year, or do you think they're overachieving this year, or do you think it's like a mixture?
Probably both.
I mean, I think anytime you're on pace on 113 games, you're overachieving. I don't think there's a team that
can
exist that 113 is not overachieving.
Yeah, and it's hard to say. They won 93 games last year. So they did make the playoffs. So it's hard to really call them like an underachieving team.
Yeah.
I guess relative to expectations. But I do think like if you look at their lineup, basically across the board of guys who were on the team last year, like everybody's having a better season. You know,
Mookie Betts
is having a much better year.
Yeah.
Mitch Moreland is having like a huge year. Xander Bogaerts is having a much better year.
Is Jackie Bradley, or is he still pretty bad?
He's having like a marginally better year, I think.
Okay.
And
Sale is Chris Sale.
Yeah, Sale's been dominant. He is on the DL right now, but will come off this weekend and supposedly not miss a beat. Yeah, I guess. Do you think... Are they the World Series favorites at this point?
I mean, I think that's like at this point almost an impossible thing to say, you know, because it's such a crapshoot. Like in a series, I would not feel comfortable picking a series between the Astros and the Red Sox. Like the Astros have a better, or the Red Sox, if the Astros are healthy, right? Because it's like do you think the Red Sox are that much better than the Astros where you could say like, I mean, definitely we'll make predictions if that happens, but like. With zero confidence, I wouldn't bet on it. It's like, are the Red Sox that much better than the Astros where I know that they can beat them in 7?
Yeah.
Are they that much better than the Yankees where I know that they can beat them in 7? I know they just swept the Yankees, but...
Yeah,
I don't
know. It's tough. I think all of those teams are so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like right now, the Yankees are considerably worse than the Red Sox. Like
yeah,
the Yankees
so
pitching, the rotation in particular is like... looks really shaky right now.
But they can beat him in 7, like, no problem. Or 5.
What do you mean?
In a series, is what I'm saying.
The Yankees
could beat the Red Sox
in 5?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think the Yankees beat the Red Sox in 5?
Not as currently constructed.
If they're all...
Maybe if Aaron Judge comes back and if...
Well, I guess I'm assuming...
Luis Severino stops pitching like garbage.
I'm assuming that they're healthy at least. I think, yeah.
But even if they're healthy, like, they don't have, you know, they just demoted Sonny Gray to the bullpen.
Right.
Severino's been bad.
But they have J.A. Happ.
Yeah, right. Ace in the hole.
Ace in the hole.
Happ, Sale. It's the ALCS on Fox.
I think that the Red Sox are favorites. I think the Red Sox and Astros, to me, are the very clear ALCS favorites.
I think
the Astros get healthy.
I think, yeah, the Yankees are sort of remind me of the Red Sox last year, which is they've sort of been beset by underachievement.
Sure. It's a 100-win pace team.
Yeah, well, not beset. Like, the Yankees have had a lot go right. You know, like Gleyber Torres making the All-Star team. Andujar's played mostly well. But Gary Sanchez has been very disappointing. Greg Bird has been very disappointing.
Gregorius has been disappointing since April.
Yeah. I think basically the whole of their starting rotation has been a disappointment at this point.
Sure, but they have that bullpen.
But they do have that bullpen. Yeah, so I it'll be interesting to see. Girardi was the guy who, you know, rode that bullpen super hard.
Right.
There's no guarantee that Aaron Boone's going to do the same thing.
Sure.
I just like it does look to me top to bottom, the Red Sox are the deepest team right now. I guess catcher is maybe the one spot where they don't have an above average regular.
Sure. I think the Astros talent wise, if they're healthy, are right there with them, except for they don't have a Chris Sale. Really? Like Garrett Cole or Verlander?
I mean,
Sale's just so good.
Yeah. But Sale has never pitched well in September,
and the Red Sox have a probably better bullpen. But
I'm very curious what the deal is with Chris Sale at the end of the year. Like he does, I watched him a lot, and he does have this trend of falling off at the end of the year. But like it doesn't necessarily seem like a weariness or like a tiredness.
How is he at the beginning of the year? Usually
he's good. I mean, he's good in every month.
I was gonna say, like, is it a cold weather thing?
I don't think so. I mean, like, the most evidence, I guess, would point to, like, yeah, he wears down at the end of the year, but he does. It's not like his stuff is worse necessarily. And like, at least last year, he like alternated between bad and insanely great starts.
Yeah. Maybe his grumpiness.
I think it's I think it's like a mental thing. Yeah. Like, I think he's in his head about it.
Yeah, and it would be very easy if you're kind of a mental guy, which he definitely wears his emotions on his sleeve.
If you're kind of a mentalist.
Mentalist. If you're a mentalist, our new favorite show. Sorry, Bones. here we go again.
Right.
Like if you have like one bad start, because every pitcher is going to have a bad inning start game. Two innings at any point in the season.
And he does like when he's struggling, his reaction is like to overthrow.
Right.
Like he gets like too pumped.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's probably part of it.
Yeah. So I guess that's a question for the Red Sox. But yeah, I mean, in a 7-game series, I think if both teams are healthy, the Astros and the Red Sox, if that's what it comes down to in the AL, it is kind of a crapshoot. Like, you know, who knows? And maybe that is one of those situations where it comes down to managers, like, you know, pulling the right strings, like going to the right relievers, that
which
kind
is
of a
where,
thing.
And I don't think the Indians had the talent, but they do have two of the best three players in baseball on their team.
Very true.
And they have a potentially good bullpen if they should be good bullpen. And so it's like, even the Indians could be any of these. Like, that's like, I mean, obviously it's the Astros and Red Sox, but I don't think that the Red Sox are like dominantly better. I felt more that the Dodgers were like dominantly better in the NL.
Why?
Because the Astros are so good. That's why. I mean,
but just based on like you're saying like the current results are not predictive necessarily, or not not representative of a true talent difference between the Astros and the Red Sox. You're saying like essentially like the Red Sox are playing over their heads and slash are lucky.
I mean, I think that has to be true if you're on for any team that's on pace to win 113 games. Like that's like there's no team that would ever be projected to win that many games unless it was like a crazy super team. But I'm just looking how Houston's seven games behind Boston. Man. Houston's just good. Like, I don't know. I just think Houston's good, and I think seven games is a lot.
Yeah, you kind of got to give them the benefit of the doubt, too, because they won last year, you know? Like, they've proven with that team they can win.
Right.
And the Red Sox have flamed out in the playoffs the last few years.
And like, an unproven manager, if you want to give that edge to Hinch.
Yeah, right. Like, Mansell and Price have not really, like, Price had that one good postseason, right? But,
I mean, the thing is I'm not saying that if you told me that the Astros were going to the Red Sox are going to steamroll through the playoffs and lose two games to get to the World Series, I would also be like, yeah, I can see that. They're good.
Yeah.
But also I think the Astros, like if it was the NL, I'd be like, man, I have a hard time thinking any team
can
hang with the Red Sox or Astros.
Yeah.
There's no team in the NL that's that good.
No, I think you're right. I don't know. I wonder if I think health is going to play a big deal in the AL playoffs this year, just because, there are three or arguably four teams, if you include the Indians, that have like basically a 98-100 win true talent level.
Yeah, I think so. And like, I think the A's could mess with a team.
You counting out the Mariners?
I love the Mariners. I want the Mariners to make the playoffs, but I don't know. Man.
Where are they at right now?
I think they're like 2.5 games out behind the
A's.
A's.
Did the A's pass the Yankees? Our research.
Yankees are up 3 on the A's, and the Oakland's up 2 on Seattle.
Okay.
So we do live in a world where the Yankees can implode and Seattle-Oakland is a wild card game.
That'd be cool.
Seattle's only 5 games
behind
the Yankees.
I'm always in favor of a Yankees implosion.
Yeah, me too.
let's that's a very flat, flat truth about me.
Oh, definitely. I'm on. Yeah, I share that truth.
Yeah,
with you.
Let's live our truths.
Yankees implode.
Okay. Well, this is a somewhat organic transition because the Yankees are playing the Chicago White Sox.
Okay, rant time.
And I just got a rant.
Let's do rant.
I just got a rant.
You have like a song.
I had a little song.
Yeah.
An equivalent of Waylon's words.
Yeah.
I wish Joe was here. What are they? They're showing like.
They're showing when they converted it from turf to.
Oh, when they converted Kauffman Stadium from turf to grass.
Oh, we should say what we're talking about. I was at their first game on grass.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's not what the rant is about.
No.
We need more turf.
I love AstroTurf.
No, the rant is about basically, I'm very frustrated with the White Sox because their two best prospects, Eloy Jimenez and Michael Kopech, have been essentially demonstrably ready for the majors. If not, if you're being generous, you could say like, for a month, they've been ready. If you're being honest, you could probably say since the beginning of the year, essentially. Maybe since May. They've both been ready for the majors.
And are they playing AAA or in AA?
They're both in AAA.
Okay.
Service time thresholds have passed.
Sure.
You know, arbitration, Super 2, it's all passed unless they're going to hold them down into the minors
until May of next year.
Yeah, like basically May of next year. Meanwhile, Eloy Jimenez is hitting like 400 in AAA. Michael Kopech has given up like 3 runs over his last 40 innings or something like that. Like,
how old are they?
Jimenez is 21. Kopech is 22, maybe. Or maybe they're both 21.
Okay.
You know, they're both young.
Right.
But I am pissed off. Like, I have watched bad baseball for 2 years now. Like, bad, hopeless baseball.
Right.
I want to see these fucking guys play. And it's good for their development. That's the next hurdle they need to get over.
Right.
If the White Sox are going to hope to compete anytime soon. And, like, you know, reporters are asking, like, so what are these guys still doing there? And the front office has been, like, very evasive about, like, well, you know, they have boxes they need to check, and when they're ready, we'll call them up, and all this bullshit. And, like, fans, you know, like, I get wanting, like, fans have been talked into the service time games, right? Like, there's a lot of White Sox fans who are like, look what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant.
But that doesn't feel quite the same because I don't remember Chris Bryant being like ready to be called up in May of the previous
year. Exactly. They didn't. Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm just annoyed with the whole thing. I'm annoyed that I have to watch bad baseball instead of good, exciting baseball. Like, it's a bad product they're showing us. I'm annoyed that, like, fans have been blindly taught to, like, follow this, like, service time manipulation game to, like, the at the expense of a player who, like, could be getting better in the majors and, like, is a human being. Like, if you're doing well at work, like, you want to be rewarded. Otherwise, like, your well-being suffers. Like, your loyalty to your company, your belief in sort of the system that you're a part of suffers. Like, and so it's like, I feel like it's come full circle almost from this like sabermetric sort of like, well, let's look at the numbers and like, let's optimize the roster to like, yeah, but you know, you have to balance the human element both on the player side and the fan side. And right now I think the organization is doing a very poor job of balancing either the fans or the players' well-being, and it gives me less faith that they know what they're doing going forward, that they'll make like savvy, intelligent moves. It's just like as frustrating and disconcerting as the bad baseball was last year and at the beginning of this year. It was like, oh, we're putting up with it to get to a point where we'll get to see the like payoff for it.
Right.
You know, we'll get to see the payoff for trading Chris Sale and Jose Quintana, and still waiting
still
for the payoff,
for
you know.
Oh, and if you have to wait until May of next
year, it's ridiculous. And like it goes against the talking points of the organization, which is just like they're going to let the players force the issue. And like it's up to the players to prove they belong. Like what more could these guys be doing?
That's what's frustrating to me. Like, first of all, like I understand if they wanted to push them past everything this year. Like, I get that. I mean, I get it overall. Like, I get from a business standpoint, why are they waiting until possibly May of 2019 to call these guys up? But you got to bring them up. They're not like what you were saying with the as they're wasting a year of major league production.
Yeah.
Like just looking at it like, from like a selfish back of the baseball card. If I'm Eloy Jimenez, I'm like, I want to get my good. Like I have.
Yeah.
I could be decent. I want my rookie year to say like I hit 260 for half a season. Like,
well,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it shows like a lack of faith in the front office, in themselves, that like they can put together and keep together a good team without manipulating.
They're basically saying like these guys are gone in 6 years.
Like these guys aren't going to re-sign, and like, you know, if the fate of this rebuild depends on having these guys under their final year of arbitration in 2025 instead of 2024 or whatever, like it's probably been a failure already.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and every day that they're like, it's not like you can count on these guys to come up and produce right away. And the White Sox have seen that this year with like Yoán Moncada and Reynaldo Lopez and Tim Anderson. It's like they still need probably more development in
like,
the majors.
He's not going to come up and hit 400.
Yeah,
Eloy Jimenez.
So it's like you're just pushing whatever struggles that either of these guys may have until a year in which you could theoretically be competing.
And also, like, what better to get someone hyped is if Jimenez gets called up and does hit 280 and hits, like, 9 home runs in the next, you know what I mean? Or, like, what's the guy's name?
Michael Kopech.
Or Michael Kopech. Yeah, like what if he goes like
Mitch Moreland.
You know, Mitch Moreland. What if he gets traded to the White Sox? No, like what if Kopech comes like, what if he comes and pitches like has one of those like no hitter starts in his first game where he goes 6 2/3 and gives up his first hit and he's good. Then the fans are coming into 2019 like the Braves came into this year. I know that they did the same thing with Acuna, but it was only that 1 month. Like, Acuna probably could have come up. But
if
like,
it was, like, 3 weeks, like, Bryant or Acuna, like, okay, I think we can all stomach it. It's, like, very obvious
and
what
the
reasoning
is. It's not
going
to hurt the player. Like, Bryant could stomach being in the minors for, like, Acuna. They could be in the minors for a month. But also, it's, like, they have to be miserable. Because being in the minor leagues sucks.
There's also like a halo effect, like I think all the way down the organization, you know, where like your other top prospects are not going to have faith that the front office is going to do right by them.
Yeah.
Like they're going to like,
it feels like they're doing more than taking advantage of the system. Like it feels like that's what the Braves did and Cubs did. And it's just like, whatever. It's annoying. But this feels like, like they're saving these guys for 2024.
Yeah.
That feels like kind of like a, go to hell.
It sucks, dude.
I would
hate it.
Especially since the White Sox are so bad.
They're so bad.
Like, if the White Sox were like the Blue Jays, where it's like they're still bad, but they're like tolerable and fun, like they have like Kevin Pillar, but like, just need someone to watch.
They don't even have like bona fide major leaguers in the spots that these guys would play. It's very frustrating. That's my rant.
I get it, man. I joined in a little because I'm frustrated on your behalf. I would be very frustrated. If Chris, if they would have sat on Bryant that year
for like a whole year,
for the whole year, I would have been losing.
That's basically my mind. They're doing with Kopech. Kopech started the year in AAA, and he did wobble. He had a wobbly month, but like that was, you know, seven starts ago or something.
Get better in the in AAA.
Yeah.
Is they're not in the PCL, are they?
No, they're in the International League.
Because I was going to say, especially if they're in the PCL, man, they're just, especially Kopech.
He's just
going to
get destroyed.
Or Jimenez is going to get inflated numbers, but they're not. It's irrelevant because they're not in the PCL. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, man. That's a bummer.
You know, whatever. It's baseball, but it is very frustrating.
Yeah.
What was your surprise topic?
Do we have time for it?
Yeah, let's squeeze it in.
Let's squeeze it in. Basically, I'll just keep it very simple. I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I don't think we talked about it. How do you feel about getting rid of divisions?
I don't think I'm in favor of it.
Oh, I think I'm very in favor of it.
I think I like the idea that there is a reward for winning your division. And I've also read that it's like logistically unworkable for there to not be unbalanced divisions at this point in baseball, just due to like travel schedules and that kind of thing.
Oh, to try to make it so like the A's have to play the Blue Jays the same amount.
Right,
like
exactly.
The Blue Jays are playing the Yankees.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I didn't think about it from that point.
And I do think like there's something to like regional rivalry and sort of like the more playoff races, the more exciting the end of the season is, you know? If it's just like, I'm guessing.
But I don't think that like,
if it's like,
I mean, the basketball playoff race isn't boring and they essentially don't have, I mean, they have divisions, but
it doesn't matter
for the playoffs.
Don't they seed the division winners 1, 2, 3, 4? Though?
Something like that.
Not?
So it gives them, but like, I'm talking like, but so it's boring for like the top 4 or 5 teams if they're kind of running away from it. But then those like last 6 teams that are vying for those 3 spots make it interesting the same way as the wild card, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I get what you're saying. I just think like, I don't know. I hate when there's a situation where it's like the Indians aren't that good and they're running away from their division.
Yeah.
It's not that bad because at least their record's fine. But, you know, we've seen those situations before where like a team that's 4 games above 500 is 3.5 games up in their division.
Would you... Meanwhile, get rid of the leagues then too? Just
a
30
team
table?
No. I think American and National League is still. I mean, you have to. I think like that's. I very rarely say this, but I think that's too steeped in tradition to mess with the American versus National League. I'm fine with interleague play.
See, I'd be much more fine with realignment.
American National
and like sort of you know keep calling them American and National League if you want, but you know get rid of the DH, same rules, move teams around between.
So pro DH.
Get rid of the DH. Get rid of the
not DH.
Not
yeah.
DH. Double negative.
I think that just the original 16 need to stay in their leagues. So I'm fine with any other team moving leagues.
Okay.
It would be very weird for me to think about like the
Cubs
Phillies,
and the AL.
The Phillies even. I'm not a Phillies fan, but the Phillies and the AL or the
I think you'd get used to
the A's and the NL. I'm sure. I mean, of course I would. But like if I was up to me, I would say those. Because I do like the history of the game so much, I'm fine letting things go, but I think there are certain things that just like, you know, the original 16, those like they founded.
If it was up to me, the White Sox would be in a division with the Padres, the Marlins, and the Royals.
well, you have one of those.
Yeah. That's I mean, how it would be a bummer
not to
things.
Have like the Cubs and the Cardinals in the same division and everything.
Yeah.
I just want, I read that article, I think it was an SB Nation, but I could be wrong, that they're talking about doing like a College World Series style playoffs.
Oh, I don't.
Maybe, I don't remember where it was. But the College World Series does double elimination.
Yeah.
Like a weird double bracket tournament.
Right.
And they, some of it was like, this is too much. And their pitch was, if you have the best record in the league, you just skip the tournament and go straight to the CS. And the other seven teams duke it out.
Hmm.
Or six teams or however they had it. So I was like, well, that seems crazy to yeah. like have to skip like a whole tournament to get to the CS or LCS. But I did like part of it.
Yeah.
I like it better than the one win wild card, which I...
No, like, the one win wild card's so exciting. Give me one
so
win.
It's so exciting
give me
and fun, but it's so
single elimination.
And this is coming from a dude that benefited from one of the craziest, the Royals beating the A's. Like, I obviously had such a thrill yeah. with that game, and then the Cubs have won one. But it's like, it's way too arbitrary for what baseball is.
I do like a, like, give me more single elimination. Like skip
in other sports?
Skip two. No, in baseball, like skip two teams ahead to the division series and have four teams duke it out,
no.
or like, or skip three teams ahead and have
yeah.
four teams duke it out for the last spot.
But a tiny
I'm
little
down.
Double elimination tournament is just the same.
I'd be down for that.
I mean, you have just like, there's still like a do or die game, and it's a three game
yeah.
series at max. Like, so I just feel like because. Baseball feels like the only sport where, like, pretty consistently, the worst team could beat the best team, like, in a game.
Yeah, I think that's
or
true.
Or, like, it's got to be the most likely. If you play, like, 1,000 games between the Royals and the Red Sox, the Royals probably win more games than, like, the worst basketball team
right,
playing the best.
Right, than the Warriors versus the Suns or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly, yeah, right. Like, it has to be the case.
For sure,
and
yeah.
football, definitely the case where, like, the yeah. Browns playing the Patriots is going to be bad for the
yeah,
Browns,
yeah.
like, 997 times.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's just like, man, it's so crazy. It is very fun. I won't doubt how exciting it is. It's a thrill. It's nerve-wracking to have your team
usually
in it.
Those teams are pretty close together talent and record-wise, though. Like, I don't think that either of the wild card teams,
yeah.
like maybe this year,
I mean,
if the
Yankees win
100
games.
Yeah, if they win
100
games, but like...
Like an 89-win team. I mean, the A's
but
are
But they're
good.
Only three
yeah.
wins, three
yeah,
games
right.
ahead.
Yeah,
you know,
right now.
So.
But they're, I don't know.
I think there's no like perfectly fair way to do it. Like
no.
everybody's always going to have a gripe about seeding or whatever.
Right.
Like I get, you know, unless
I
if you even if you seed it exactly by record, like 1 through 30, there's going to be like if the schedule is unbalanced, it's like
sure.
well those wins are worth less
yeah.
or like you know they caught
yeah.
a certain team when they were somebody was hurt or suspended
exactly.
or whatever. So there's
yeah.
no like
I don't think that the current system is like super broken. Like
yeah.
I just think that it could be a little. I'd like it a little. There's
a little tweak.
I think perfect scenario too that we'd add two teams and have an extra team in the playoffs.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm down for expansion.
Hell yeah!
And then we don't have this weird uneven where a National League and American
yeah.
League team always have to play.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. Well, that was my little surprise.
Surprise.
Thing, 'cause I've been thinking a lot about playoff restructuring. I don't know why.
Well, let's take a quick tour break, and when we come back, we'll run through our favorite and least favorite Giants ever.
Yeah.
All right, we are back, and what a halftime it was, huh?
Oh, man, we did a lot.
Yeah. Running around town. It's sort of like one of those movie montages, like, you know, like a shopping montage.
Red, yeah.
Like go-karts involved.
Oh, yeah,
and
those were fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of corn dogs.
It was exactly like the montage in the Sandlot. You know, we like...
We tried tobacco.
Chewing tobacco. We rode a roller coaster and threw up.
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome.
Green Onions was playing the entire time, just on repeat.
For 4 hours.
I could probably do that. I love that song. We're going to talk about the Giants. I super hate the Giants.
The Gigantes? San Francisco Gigantes?
Do you have a team in sports that you super hate without having like a good reason, like either rivalry wise or geographically wise?
Without I mean, the Patriots, I don't like see, whatsoever.
They're in the division rivalry. They're a division rivalry.
With the Dolphins?
With
your
the Dolphins.
Most so. Random fandom? Random fandom.
Random fandom.
That should be the name of your new podcast
random
where
fandom.
You talk about the team, Dolphins, the Dolphins. With and like teams people randomly like.
A city. I'm a Dolphins fan despite the fact that I may never go to Miami in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean, that's not super random. They just like, I think that's probably true of a lot of people that they're not
the Patriots
wild
or the
about
Yankees,
the Patriots.
I guess people hate the Yankees.
Random. What do you define? Like, you have.
Well, the Giants aren't like, so the Yankees and Patriots are like, and the Lakers, I would say, and probably the Celtics are like super hateable.
Yes.
So, but like the Giants, I feel like most people, if they're either not a Dodgers fan or maybe an A's fan, have no reason to like hate the Giants. They're probably indifferent about the Giants.
Yeah.
They might dislike them, but I hate the Giants almost as much as I hate the Cardinals. Or
right.
White Sox. Actually, at this point, I might like the White Sox better since I've started this
since you've grown. Like,
and it's not super rational because I've never lived near San Francisco. They've never been in a division. They've never particularly beat up on the Cubs. Them beating the Royals in 2014 made it worse, but I was already there.
Yeah.
Maybe that tipped it to like Cardinals rivalry, but I was already pretty close.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, with no real good reason, do you have any team that you're just like, man, I hate that team?
I don't think so. I know you were surprised by how much I hate the Twins, but I think that was with pretty good reason.
They're a division rival.
Yeah.
Just to me, the Twins seem so hard to hate.
Yeah. So I don't think so. I'm like trying to run through.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what
maybe
it is.
There's like a college basketball team. I guess Duke, but that's
but
another
like
thing
a
of them being
like
really
a super
good.
Hateable
yeah.
Team. Yeah. There are those teams that are like up there super hateable.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
So
well,
it was
like
tough
them.
For you to pick a favorite Giant?
No, not really. There's some players.
Well, who was your favorite?
You want to do favorites first?
Sure.
My favorite is, well, the favorite of all time is just 100% Willie Mays.
Yeah.
Favorite New York Giant, who you were ranting about earlier, Christy Mathewson, maybe.
yeah, that was off mic, but I went on a fake rant about how much I hate Christy Mathewson.
Willie Mays is just great. I guess he played for the New York Giants. But my favorite Giant, as far as that I actually remember seeing play, is Matt Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Part of it.
That's like not a deep cut, but it is like a very specific choice.
Yeah.
Home run
up,
chase?
Home run chase in the 93 home runs.
Was
yeah,
it? Or
strike short year. Oh, yeah, 94. He got cut off. He was at 33 at the strike, which was probably about now in this nowish.
I think it would have been a couple weeks. Wasn't it end of July?
Maybe it was end of July, but nowish.
Yeah.
He was at 33 home runs, which is very impressive. That was.
It must have been earlier because J.D. Martinez is at 33 home runs right now, and nobody's like, he might hit 60.
That's true.
Or is 60
or
just
I
meaningless
don't think
now?
I don't really care anymore.
I'm going to look it up. Keep talking.
So, but part of the reason is I love third baseman, so I'm a sucker for third baseman. And because I had this game, RBI Baseball 3
oh,
on
you're
Nintendo.
Right. August 12th.
August 12th. Ooh, we're real close.
Yeah.
5 days away.
We should celebrate by not watching baseball.
Yeah, well, the rest of the year. So there's an RBI Baseball, which is a beloved game, but I loved RBI Baseball 3, the third one, and Matt Williams was great in that game.
Hmm.
And I had a big rivalry with this guy I went to in college, and Matt Williams, for some reason, always tore him up. So Matt Williams was, we named him the Nemesis because my friend Brian Burt, Cardinals fan, occasional listener of the podcast, would always hate me having Matt Williams on my team.
Hmm.
And so that's part of the reason. But I don't know. I liked the early Giants team when I was a kid, like Will Clark.
I like Will Clark. Do you have any mixed feelings about Matt Williams now as a somewhat terrible and somewhat controversial manager?
Sure. Yeah. Is he a good human or is he just a bad manager?
I don't know.
I
mean, maybe I feel like
he's
I feel like there's
bad,
something
Mark
like
Grace had some bad human stuff.
Like, yeah, I feel like bad. Matt Williams is like tickling my brain as like either it was either like he was a unwritten rules guy or he like said something.
I know
like,
he was a bad that because he was around with like when the Diamondbacks were just who knew what they were doing.
Right? Yeah, well, Nationals
or
right?
Nationals. Sorry, yeah. yeah. Oh, I'm
he played for the Diamondbacks.
I'm complaining yeah. with Kirk Gibson.
Oh yeah,
when
yeah,
he
yeah.
was with the Diamondbacks. No, I don't love Matt Williams. I was just trying to think of a favorite Giant.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like
that's
a
fine.
I don't know. I always kind of liked him. I liked him when he was on the Diamondbacks.
I think that's a good choice. I mean, he was very good. I think he's a guy who maybe was a bit overrated in his time.
Oh, sure. I'm
like,
sure he was.
As
yeah.
He would not have been a sabermetric darling. He essentially seems like a Jake Lamb kind of player of like who hits a lot of dingers and maybe is an okay third baseman but doesn't do a ton else.
I have no idea how many walks he took or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a career 317 on base percentage.
Oh, my God. That's
but
bad.
He hit a lot of homers and there was like a huge amount of... Javi Baez just like sprinted to the outfield wall making a catch, basically like caught it by the infield and just kept running.
That's the second time he's done it in this game. He almost ran into Hayward catching a ball in the outfield.
They call that the Baez sprint right there.
El Mago. Yeah, again. All right. So I remember cheering for him.
I remember it being a huge deal in 1994 that he was like hitting so many homers.
Yeah.
And then I think he had a great year in 95 as well, but got hurt.
Yeah, he was. He started off hot. So I really couldn't think of too many other Giants that I super liked. I mean, I like Johnny Cueto.
Johnny Cueto.
I'll never
not
like Johnny Cueto. But I wouldn't say he's my favorite Giant.
Right. Well, my favorite Giants, Willie Mays, yes.
Sure.
You know, in terms of all time. Guys I've seen or I watched, I narrowed it down to two.
Ooh, a tie.
I think I'm going to pick the one that will enrage you the most.
Oh, no.
So my second favorite, it was JT Snow.
Okay.
Who
you
I
know
like.
What? I'm fine with JT
Snow. Yeah, that's not the one that's going to enrage you.
But I know, but I'm just saying.
I do like, I always liked JT Snow. You know, he had that famous moment with Dusty Baker's kid in the World Series, which, you know, we see sort of time and time again in October. He played at University of Arizona. So he was also like maybe my mom's favorite player.
Okay.
Because she just like knew him from not knew him personally, but college sports are pretty big in Arizona. So his was a well-known name. May have been on a College World Series winning team. I don't know for sure. But the player that I went with for my all-time favorite
there are
Giant.
Three I'm thinking of that could enrage me. So.
Was Jeff Kent.
Oh, no.
Was that one of them?
No. I don't like Jeff Kent, but he doesn't enrage me.
I thought you ranted maybe against him in one of our previous episodes.
I might have ranted about his dumb bullshit MVP award, but I don't. Maybe it's sabermetric great, but at the time I hated it.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have won probably MVP over Barry Bonds, but that was an insane year.
Yeah,
he did have an OPS over 1,000 as a second baseman. Played 159 games.
What more
Let's
do
see.
You want?
He was worth 7.2 wins.
I mean, a second baseman. That's phenomenal.
Certainly like mustache. You know, probably a more deserving MVP than say like Dustin Pedroia or Jimmy Rollins or like other sort of second baseman who've won it.
Right.
Barry Bonds was better than him that year, but only marginally.
Yeah, and probably MVP fatigue for Bonds,
actually
for sure.
You know who was the most valuable player in terms
what
of
year
war?
Was this
this was 2000.
2000 in the NL?
Yeah.
Or overall?
In the NL.
Was it Richard Hidalgo?
It was not Richard Hidalgo.
Was it Phil Nevin?
It was not Phil Nevin.
I'm doing deep cuts because you are making me guess.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a deep cut, but I don't think that you will pull it out. It's not a guy who you ever think of, despite him being a very great player for a very long time. I guess that would be
Ellis
the closest
Burks?
Thing that I'm going to... No, but
Rocky?
Like,
is
yeah,
it Rocky?
Yeah.
Is it Preston? Not Preston Wilson.
No,
no.
I said a very great
I
player.
Know,
for
that's
a
why
very
I immediately
long
regretted
time.
Saying it.
It's Todd Helton.
Todd Helton. Oh, it's Todd Helton in 2000.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
8.9 wins above replacement.
No, I wouldn't have pulled him out. I was thinking two worse than him.
But anyway, so I always liked Jeff Kent, and not. I don't have a great reason why, besides that he was a good player. I think part of it perhaps was like I was a second baseman in Little League around that time, and he was sort of the best second baseman. And he was like, I don't know.
Carlos Baerga.
Jeff Kent's better than Carlos Baerga. But I do have like, I've always had a soft spot for him, even though it seems like he's kind of a jerk. Like, if I had a Hall of Fame vote, I might vote for Jeff Kent.
I don't think that's crazy. I think he probably deserves to be in the Hall of
Fame. Yeah.
Because he played second. He's like definitely one of those dudes that if he didn't play second base or shortstop, it might not be as
right.
He was a great second baseman.
I think he was a late bloomer as well, which like I don't know. There's a solid argument that he probably did steroids, just based on sort of that profile of like late bloomer who like became a great player in 1997.
But I don't care.
But
so many people are doing it. I can't care.
But yeah, I don't know. I
think that's a solid choice.
I like him.
I think Jeff Kent. I also like JT Snow because he was part of. I'm going back to JT Snow.
Yeah, go for it.
I really like that mid '90s Angels team that had JT Snow and Tim Salmon,
Garrett Anderson,
and Jim Edmonds, and Darren Erstad.
Yeah,
like I love that team. Yeah, when I was growing up, I was like, I love the California Angels.
Yeah.
So JT Snow always has a soft spot for being part of that team.
Yeah.
It'd be before Eckstein, but I think Jeff Kent's good.
Gary DeSarcina.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Mark Langston, did you say him? Chuck Finley?
Was he around? Chuck Finley would have been around. I don't know. Langston might have been gone by the mid-90s. But it gets a little fuzzy because I was a kid. But yeah,
they did have a lot of fun, good players.
So least favorite Giant.
Can I go on a quick tangent, two-sentence tangent? I went to an Angels-White Sox game with my dad a couple of weeks ago, and we were just walking around the stadium, and we got there early, which I hadn't done in a while as well. So walking around the stadium, I saw like decorations on one wall. It was like a wall of their like division titles / playoff appearances basically. Okay. And I was like, the Angels have made the playoffs a lot of times. And then their pregame video has like historical highlights. And I was like, the Angels have had a lot of like really good players. Yeah. And like they won the division like 5 times in a row or something in the 2000s, which like I had somehow blocked out of my mind. And I was like I was like, do the Angels have a richer baseball history than the White Sox? This is like tragic. This is a tragic realization for me that the Angels are actually a more storied franchise than the White Sox. I think it's true.
No.
The White Sox have never made the playoffs, or since I guess like the teens have not made the playoffs in 2 years in a row.
They didn't in the 90s? Oh, because 94 got canceled.
No, actually, Jim Margulis, who runs the White Sox, my favorite White Sox blog, put it a good way that the White Sox are like a 120-year-old team still in search of their first heyday.
I'm pretty sure they never, because they won the 17 series.
Yeah, they missed it in 18, didn't they?
Yeah, 18 was the
I don't think they've ever made the playoffs twice, 2 years in a row.
I mean, they definitely never had before. I can say for certain in the only playoffs is the World Series era, they never went to back-to-back World Series.
Yeah, well, I can say for certain that like since, you know, the 50s or whatever, they have not.
The playoffs would have started in 68 or 69.
Depressing. Anyway.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, least favorite Giant. End of tangent, because it'll make me too sad. Okay, this has been a sad White Sox fan.
Least favorite Giant. Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
I
already gave away that I considered three.
You go first.
Okay, so the first person was Hunter Pence.
How could you? Hunter Pence is so likable.
If he played for any other team, except probably for the Cardinals or White Sox. Like, if he was in the Cubs, I'd love him.
Yeah.
And probably if he was playing for, like, the Mariners, I'd love him. But, oh, man, that guy. But that's probably, he's probably very related to the 2014 World Series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, speaking of that, Madison Bumgarner.
Sure.
Who I've talked on this podcast before about, I hate, which is also so related to that World Series.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's Barry Bonds. Mm-hmm. Barry Bonds is, like, one of my least favorite players of all time. And I will say, I'll be like a Barry Bonds hate hipster. I disliked him before he was on steroids.
I picked Bonds as well, even though I don't particularly hate him. Mm. He does seem like a jerk. I think
he's
like in my mind, like I can both acknowledge that he's like probably the best baseball player ever. And also, he sucks, and I don't like him. Okay, well, top five.
Sure.
I don't want this to necessarily turn into, like, let's rank Alex Rodriguez, Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth.
No, we don't have to do that. No. Although
we should do that at some point, I guess.
I would do that.
Do a countdown. Maybe the off-season.
Yes, Bonds is 100% top 10, and I would listen to top five. We don't have to do it right now, but I have a hard time thinking he's the best player ever.
I did, actually, when we brought up Aubrey Huff, I think...
Oh, yeah. Do you hate or like Aubrey Huff?
I don't like Aubrey Huff. But his is more post-playing career. I think...
Oh, okay.
He is, like, a... very right wing, very outspoken, like far right wing, like Curt Schilling esque kind of guy.
Yeah, because I'm the same way. Curt Schilling, I liked when he played.
Yeah. I kind of liked Aubrey Huff. Yeah. Like, he was the only good player on the Devil Rays for a while and stuff. So I decided to like that maybe is not a good enough reason just because I disagree with him on a lot. Bonds, I think, you know, I like it's a little bit tough just because, like, how can you hate a guy that good at a thing you like watching, you know? So it was tough for me to land on him, but there just wasn't anybody else who jumped out. And I do think he was, like, a toxic presence for the Giants and for baseball in general for quite some time.
I think that, too. And I think that he was he seemed aware of how toxic he was, and he didn't care.
Yeah.
Which is pretty annoying. It's one thing if you're just like Bryce Harper, who is probably aware of how annoying people find him, but he's like just having fun and not being a dick.
Yeah.
Like, so that's fine. Like, I don't like the players who seem to be aware that they suck. Like AJ Pierzynski, I felt that they're assholes.
Yeah.
And they embrace it. Like, that's the kind of thing that
Pierzynski is different because Pierzynski's teammates always liked him.
That's true.
I think, when he was with the Giants. The Giants hated it. But when he was with the White Sox, everybody always liked him.
Yeah.
People in the Giants actively disliked, I think, being
Bonds.
Around
because
Bonds.
He made it difficult to be around him.
Yeah.
But I think part of why I dislike Bonds, and this isn't necessarily rational, but I think in the 90s, before the steroid stuff, it was kind of like Bonds versus Griffey. And I just chose this. I was hard Griffey.
Yeah.
So I think when I'm a kid and I'm like, I love Griffey, that means I must hate.
What if his nickname was Hard Griffey?
Hard Griffey. That'd be dope. So I think that reason, I think his contract was like the first time that I was aware as a baseball fan of like, he's destroying the Pirates by leaving them.
Oh, and whatever. So I don't remember that.
So I definitely remember that because I remember him playing for the Pirates. And I just remember, and of course it was going on before that, like free agency and like when Reggie Jackson left the A's and stuff before my time. But I think that was my first awareness of like, oh, what a dick. Even though I don't think it's rational, you got to get your money. But like when you're a kid, you're like, how would you do that to your team?
Yeah.
Like, because you think that,
right.
George Brett's my favorite player who would never leave the Royals. Like, it's like, why would you leave the Pirates for money?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that aggravated me. And then the fact that he's like a dick and everything. Like, I think there were a lot of things that were stacking up against Bonds. And then he was breaking records. I mean, he broke a cheater's record, I guess, the single season one. But
yeah.
I mean, he broke McGuire's record. McGuire cheated just as much as as Bonds. So, and Sosa also cheated just as much. So it's not like, but breaking Hank Aaron's record does feel icky that.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, I kind of blame him, and maybe not his fault, but the fact that no one cares about 60 home runs or that no one cares about 600 home runs kind of is because Bonds was so polarizing that no one cared that he was breaking these records.
Yeah.
And so that he kind of, I think, left a permanent or at least lasting stain on the game until I think someone who's beloved breaks the record.
Yeah.
I just want anybody that everyone agrees isn't a cheater and a good guy to break the record just so that we can have a new focal point.
It'd be nice. I don't know if I don't know how realistic that is.
I think
the game will have to continue to change pretty, like, because if you look at, you know, last year was sort of the year of the home run and the juiced ball and all that, and nobody came close to 70 home runs.
I think that's...
Nobody, like...
Yeah, that's more unreachable, I think, than the career home run record.
Yeah,
I
maybe.
I think if you can stay healthy and turn out 35 to 40, like, because that's what basically Hank Aaron did. Hank Aaron never hit 50.
Yeah, but you got to start young.
Mike Trout, he hasn't hit that many home runs.
I mean, he does. I guess Trout is comparable to Aaron In
I don't know Aaron's like early power, because Trout didn't hit for a ton of power for his first, like, I mean, he was like a 20 home run guy. I don't know how. Was Trout hitting 30 out of the gate?
I'm furrowing my brow because I think that you're wrong about that.
About Trout or Aaron?
Yeah, Trout hit 30 home runs his
first
year.
Well, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Career high of 41.
That's pretty good.
I guess 162 game average of 36. So he would have to do that for 20 years.
What's Aaron look like?
What's he look like?
What's Aaron look like? I've never seen him. I mean, I think they're both very hard numbers to reach. I think like Stanton, it's always if you stay healthy. Like if Stanton would have been healthy, he'd be on the right track. I don't know if there's anybody right now that you could say other than Trout.
Aaron just kept going for so long.
Yeah, he really did.
Like he, from age 20 to age 42. So he was in the majors for 23 years. So yeah, if Trout is around that long, maybe he will be in the ballpark, which is a pun intended.
Nice.
Do you understand what I meant by that?
I do not.
Because baseball is played in a ballpark. Remember how we were talking about that AstroTurf thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the place where AstroTurf is. A ball. Yeah, okay. I forgot the place where you keep AstroTurf.
Yeah. Well, okay. I figured that we might agree on Barry Bonds. Prior to the podcast,
Madison Bumgarner was close.
Ooh, he got off lucky.
If he
one more strike against him though, and he could, you know, if he
beats the Cubs,
get knocks the Cubs out of the playoffs one of these years.
Oh, if he
something
came out
to
of the
aspire
bullpen
to
shut down the Cubs. Oh,
he gets traded to the Cardinals.
Oh man, I would hate him so much.
Yeah.
That would be perfect. I'd hate him if he got traded to the Brewers.
Yeah.
I used to have a soft spot for the Brewers.
No longer.
It's turning
it's
ugly.
It's turning hard. It's a hard spot now. Hard spot like Griffey. All right. It's too hot in here. We're getting wacky. Thank you all for listening. This was, I'm glad that we scheduled it, even if we were a day late.
Yeah.
We will be back next week at our regular Tuesday slot. Stick around. Check out Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench Baseball. Find us on Twitter at DuckSnortPod, DuckSnortPodcast.com. Email us DuckSnortPod@gmail.com. I want to give a quick plug to my web series that just came out on Nickelodeon's YouTube channel. It's an animated web series. It's called Space Kid and Cat. If you're listening to this, give it a watch because I'm very proud of it. I think that's it.
Who did you co-create it with?
I co-created it with my good friend David Kantrowitz, who
very funny.
Very funny guy, very talented artist. And we are, yeah.
You know a secret?
Yeah.
I knew who you co-created with, and I just forgot how to pronounce his last name.
Well, I'm glad you didn't embarrass yourself trying. So, yeah, please check that out. Otherwise, we will be back next week, and we will talk to you then. And not before. I don't know what I'm doing, man.
It's hot.
It's hot.
It's hot.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardWalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.